So hello and another warm welcome in our first episode in this series of Uncovering the Property Extras of PCS Pods. I'm Kate Forsdyke and I'm a director of PCS Legal, and today I'm joined by Henry Lee, who is a financial protection advisor at Secure Mortgages and Protection. So today we're going to talk about buildings and life insurance and how they actually fit into the property transaction. So thank you, Henry, for coming along today.
Thank you. Great beer.
Brilliant. So why is buildings insurance important for home and property owners?
Yeah, of course. So buildings insurance itself covers the bricks, mortars, and also the structural elements of the property. The insurance would also be there to cover the permanent fixtures and fittings within the home. And the insurance would give the property owner the peace of mind should it suffer any damage from events such as subsidence, fire, storm, earthquake. Basically, anything that can cause damage to the property, the insurance will be there to take care of the repairing costs. It also is a requirement from a mortgage lender as well to have suitable buildings insurance policy in place, making sure providing it financial security for both the property owner and the lender.
Okay, fantastic. So when does buildings insurance actually have to be put in place?
So when purchasing a new property, because it's a legal requirement, the insurance needs to be in place the same day that you exchange contracts.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because when you exchange contracts, you are legally bound to buy that property.
Absolutely.
So if anything happened in between exchange and completion, you would still have to buy it. So that's why it's really important to have that in place.
That's an expensive mistake to make.
It could be really expensive and something you would definitely regret. So so what factors should a property owner look for when obtaining a buildings insurance quotation, and especially like the amount of cover, etc.?
Yeah, so the most important factor is the rebuild cost, which is the cover amount of the building cover. The sum assured is based on how much it would cost to rebuild the property should it be fully demolished, not the current market value. Other factors include age of the property, location, fixed element covers such as walls, etc., coverage for outbuildings, whether it is residential or leasehold property, whether the building is listed buildings and location of the property, it is in a subsidence / flood risk area as well.
Okay, brilliant. So how does buildings insurance differ from contents insurance? So is it important to have both in place at the same time?
Yeah, I think it is important to have both. But the reason being is building insurance covers the physical structure of the property, whereas the content side of it, that will cover your personal items inside the property, whether that's your furniture, appliances, electronics. And they will also give you an option to include the personal items away from the home as well, and combined in the cover together can simplify the administration for you, and it can possibly reduce the cost of the cover.
Okay, brilliant. So when does the buildings and life insurance have to be put in place?
Okay. So as previously mentioned, with the buildings insurance, that needs to be done on the same day as the contracts exchange.
Yeah.
Again, like you mentioned there, anything happens between there, you're still liable for the full cost of it. So it's very important that's done then, because it is a legal requirement.
Okay.
In terms of the life insurance, this is slightly different. In my eyes, I think it should be done either prior or not on the same day as well. This is just solely because you're taking on a huge debt. It could then be passed on to your partner, your family. And the last thing you want to do is leave that debt aside to be paid by them, especially when losing someone. Even though it's not a legal requirement, no. Again, it's essential in my eyes, so it doesn't necessarily have to be done on the same day. It can be done later down the line. It is up to you and your preference, but in my professional advice, I'd have it done sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And always better to be safe than sorry, I say so.
Exactly.
So why is life insurance considered to be essential when purchasing property? So why would you get that in place?
Yeah, of course. So it's essential in my eyes because you're taking on the large debt, like we've mentioned, to yourself and your family, and it can potentially put your finances at risk as well. So with life insurance, what we like to do and focus on is basically low frequency but high impact situations. So if your partner passes away or you pass away and your family now lose that contribution to the mortgage payment itself, the question is how are you going to pay that debt? And in most scenarios, because you've lost a partner, you're going to go through mental grieving, you're going to have a change in mental state. So are you really going to be able to continue to work? So the last thing you want to do is have to have a higher contribution when you're not in the correct mind, frame of mind. So again, it's just making sure you don't lose that property, have it repossessed because you can't pay off the mortgage. So you're losing the initial investment that you actually put into the property itself.
Yeah, I mean, that would be an awful position to be in, wouldn't
it? Exactly.
So what are the key benefits of having life insurance in place?
Yeah, so there's quite a few. The main one I focus on, just because it's like an umbrella, it kind of falls under the same thing. It is generally peace of mind. A lot of people will use life insurance for business continuity, debt repayment, security for dependents. But again, all of that just falls back to peace of mind. And it's about being proactive and not reactive. So if you set it up prior and make sure everything's taken care of and you have been proactive, then you know you've taken all sort of precautionary steps in the worst event happening.
Okay, brilliant. So what factors should a person consider when obtaining a life insurance quotation? So is there like an appropriate amount of cover that they should be looking at, or what sort of things should they be looking for?
Yeah, so depending on the mortgage type, that can have a factor. The reason being is because you could have a repayment mortgage or an interest-only mortgage. If it's repayment, you could potentially go for a decrease in life cover. This is because the policy itself will decrease in line with the mortgage as well, making sure it sort of stays like for like, so when you pass away, the remaining amount can be taken care of. A few factors for the quote side that you can take into account is your age, your health, smoking status, the length of it, and how much you're insuring for. These are all factors that will justify the cost.
Okay.
The reason being is the older you are, sadly, you are closer to sadly passing away. So that can be a bigger risk for the insurer. Health, if you have a few medical conditions, again, that's going to impact whether the insurer will even insure you, let alone give you a better price than someone else. Smoking status, because there's links to medical conditions with smoking, that's why they automatically increase it. And in terms of the term and sum assured, again, it depends on your mortgage term. Is it a 25-year mortgage? Is it a 30-year mortgage? I would say it's best to cover all of that. And then when it comes to the sum assured, how much is your mortgage worth? If it's a £250,000 mortgage, there's no point taking a £400,000 decrease in policy.
No.
You want to make sure it's like for like. But then that will then come down to budgetary constraints. Can we afford the full mortgage? If not, take a percentage of it, whether it's 50%, 75%. You just want to make a big enough dent so your family can cover the remaining mortgage amount.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. So that's good. So are there, I mean, you could go on forever with insurance,
yeah,
can't you?
Course.
But are there any other types of insurance that you would consider sort of really as an advisory rather than a compulsory when purchasing properties?
Yeah, of course. I mean, for the building insurance, I'd always double check what type of building insurance you get in. The reason being is because it will cover the main sort of factors, but sometimes they might not include flood risk, or sometimes they might not take into account earthquakes. So again, it's just making sure you look at the details and include those if you want to as an extra. You could even look at landlord's insurance or other types of insurance for tenants as well. On terms of the life side, I would suggest taking a look at critical illness or income protection. The reason being is just because if you are to be diagnosed with a serious illness, your bills normally would go up. I believe there's a Legal & General, they done a study, and the average cancer diagnosis patient will have about a £500 increase in bills per month.
Wow.
So if you're adding that on top of not being able to work because you're dealing with this medical recovery, again, that can help counteract that and just stop the ripple effect, because it's not going to solve your dreams and everything, the insurance. It's just there to sort of maintain the damage that it causes, especially with income protection as well. There seems to be this false notion at the moment where if you're employed, you get statutory sick pay.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people realise that statutory sick pay is £109.20 per month, per week. Sorry.
Yeah.
So if you're getting £436.80 per month, is that going to cover your bills? No. Is that going to cover your mortgage? Most scenarios, it's not. I know if my partner had any of that and she lost her income, we would struggle. So again, it's just making sure we look at these different areas.
Yeah, no, it's really important to think about. And I think when sort of purchasing a property, it's really good time to think about all these different
definitely.
Types of things that could happen.
Yeah, definitely.
So obviously you've been advising the clients for quite a while now. So have you got any tips for people buying properties at all?
In terms of buying properties, maybe not the property itself. For the insurance side, I would definitely say the number one tip is speak to an advisor.
Yeah.
I cannot go on about this more. The reason I say this is because a lot of time people will call up a company, it could be a non-advice firm, and they say, right, I just want insurance, let's sort it out. What you're not going to get is they're not going to go through all the paperwork, all the little details, and tell you exactly what you're covered for. A key one is with your critical illness side, because different insurers will actually cover you for different illnesses, and they'll have definitions what they count. Cancer is a big one at the moment, especially yeah. where we've seen Princess Kate being diagnosed. Some insurers won't pay out for that if it's not quite severe enough. So there's some companies you need to have a stage 3 or a stage 4 cancer.
Yeah.
But there are companies that will pay out from a stage 1. So these are important little details a non-advice firm won't do, whereas an advisor will go through this. They'll look at your trusts as well. And that's probably my number 2 tip is trusts. The reason being is because all these policies can be put into a trust apart from income protection.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people know, and I'm sure you do, Kate, if you go through probate and you're waiting for a payout to happen, this could take 6 months.
Yeah.
It could take longer if you don't have a will.
Unless if you're lucky, I think.
Exactly. So if you're not one of the lucky ones and you're waiting for a year for a policy to pay out, you could lose your property in that time because you've not paid your mortgage off.
Yeah.
So I think if your policy is in a trust, it can reduce it to a 30-day, even a 60-day payment a lot quicker. You're not going to fall into probate, so you're not going to have an inheritance tax on there as well.
Yeah, because that's good thinking.
Yeah, exactly. People don't realise if you lose 40% of the payment, it's not covering your mortgage anymore.
Yeah.
So again, trust, speak to an advisor. They're probably my 2 key tips.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming down today.
Yeah, thank you.
Definitely given us some really good advice and insight into insurance, because it's not a case of compare the market or anything like that, exactly. Is it? It's important to get the right advice for your own circumstances.
Yeah.
So brilliant. So thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me, Kate.